This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
Oh, I've got to update that intro. It's now mybellinghamnow.com is where our show streams. But if you click or go to KGMI.com, it'll take you to our new website. But on to our business here on this Friday afternoon. First of all, welcome and thanks for joining us. And we will have time to take calls. First, though, I wanted to present an interview I had a chance to do yesterday with a representative from the Department of Ecology about water adjudication. Get some, I'm sure not all, of our questions answered, but many. It's a little bit long. It's about 20 minutes long. So I want to start the program with that, and then we'll have plenty of time to take your calls and your comments on that or whatever's on your mind here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy KGMI Connects. Well, by now you've probably heard about a process called water adjudication being undertaken by the State Department of Ecology here in Whatcom County, and specifically the Nooksack River Basin. And joining us now to explain this process from Ecology's point of view is Robin McPherson. She is the adjudication manager with Ecology. And great to talk with you, Robin.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's great to talk to you, too.
All right. So, first of all, I guess, why is the state taking this action now here in Whatcom County?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Well, let me tell you, local water use in this area has been in conflict for many years, and many local groups and leaders have worked on solutions to the higher demand on water. But even with many sophisticated people working together over the years, no complete solution has been reached. Ecology is responsible for managing state waters. And in 2019, the legislature asked Ecology to conduct a statewide assessment to find where water use and water management would be improved with adjudication. At the same time, Lummi Nation and Nooksack Tribe formally requested this process through a petition to the Department of Ecology. So after a review, we identified this area, which is most of Whatcom County and some of Skagit County, as a top priority statewide for adjudication, and the legislature has funded us to begin. The goal is to resolve tribal water claims and prioritize legal water users and work toward fair and legal solutions for water supply and fish protection.
Okay. I've heard this characterized as the largest lawsuit ever filed in the state of Washington. And I'm wondering, is that an accurate way to describe this process?
I guess it depends on how you measure the size of a lawsuit. I know class action lawsuits can have thousands or even millions of parties, but this isn't a lawsuit like that for money damages. This is an action to quantify water rights. We are naming over 30,000 defendants to start, which, whether it's the largest or not, is a very large number.
And by defendants, you're talking about people who use water here in this region.
Yes, that's correct. Both people, local governments, all claimants to water use, the United States itself, the tribes, and different kinds of companies, legal entities, and people.
So it's a lawsuit in the sense that this is going to be decided through the courts, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is a lawsuit. The Department of Ecology is the plaintiff, and the defendants are all water users or claimants of water rights.
So when someone hears, I'm a defendant in a lawsuit, they think, I better lawyer up. Do water users, do property owners, do they need a lawyer to go through this process?
Yeah, that's a good question. Ecology and the courts, this is Whatcom County Superior Court, are designing the process to be as simple as possible and possible without lawyers. We are even working with specialists in unrepresented parties to develop forms that can be completed by individuals online or on paper. And so we really are committed to having the process be accessible and fair without a lawyer. But anyone can retain a lawyer if they think that they need legal advice.
Okay. Will they people be charged any other fees besides what they might seek themselves as far as legal representation?
There may be a $25 filing fee, I think, but the court can waive that for people who can't afford it. And I will let you know that we're going to send everyone a mailing later this year with all of this information and instructions in it. In fact, it still is very early in the process. The adjudication hasn't been filed yet, and there will be information provided in the community as it goes along.
So has there been a decision on when it might be filed or not yet?
Well, it will be filed this spring, and that is the actual filing will be through the Attorney General's office, and the Department of Ecology is working with them to prepare it. And so I don't really have anything more specific than that to announce at this time.
Okay. As far as property owners that, you know, whether they're just have a home out there in rural Whatcom County or Skagit County in the area that's affected by this, or maybe they're a larger water user. They have a grow operation of a farm of some sort. Will they be able? Is anybody facing the threat of losing their ability to use water that they've been using? I guess.
Yeah. Well, the way I would think about it is adjudication does not change the law. There is a law of water rights for 80 to 100 years about that requires permits from the state for most water use. And there may be water users who are using water without legal rights, which is not fair to those who do comply with the law. And the adjudication will eventually identify that. There also may be seasons where there is not enough water for everyone to use, and outdoor watering may be limited. So those are the two kinds of cases where in the future, the ability to use water could change. But the law itself will not change. It's more the application of the law.
So under current law, if someone were to, say, buy some property out in the county and then decide they're going to build a home on it and put in a well, they would have to, get that well permitted by the state? Is that what the law says now? I mean, I guess you forget my question.
I do. And I know it's really complicated, and we have resources available and websites to help understand this, but just to explain it briefly here. In general, water use, even on private property, does require permits from the state, but houses on wells are usually permit exempt. This means that they do not need a paper water right. In the future, though, after the adjudication starts, the adjudication will require those users to fill out a claim form. And that claim form, it's not exactly a permit. It will be required in order to inventory all the wells and know who is out there, whether or not they have a document or whether they are permit exempt.
Okay. So I was going to ask you about exempt wells. We've heard that term. So those are exempt wells that you just were referring to, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You asked about homes, and I think that's the most common scenario for this. Like I said, under state law for a very long time now, water users have needed to have permits or certificates as a general rule, and some well use is exempt from that. And so we call those permit exempt wells.
So moving forward after this process, there won't really be such a thing as an exempt well per se. Every well will have to have some sort of a certification.
Well, the permit exemption will not change, but we are asking everyone to participate in the adjudication and have a claim form. So the permit exemption itself, that process will stay the same, but there will be this new process to submit claims to the court so that we can inventory the permit exempt wells.
And I told you, I went to a meeting recently held here locally about this process, and the folks who were there were told that they would fill out this form and then agree to use a limited amount of water. It seemed to be fairly liberal, but I mean, is that what most most residents or property owners, I should say, will have? Is a limit, like say a daily limit of the amount of water they can use, that sort of thing?
Well, that's an interesting question, because in the current state of things, water users all do have a legal limit of some sort or another on their product, on their property, almost always. So whether it's under the permit exemption usually has a limit of 5,000 gallons per day, and larger water rights should have a documentation on those, like a water rights certificate, and those often have limits on them as well. So the adjudication will look at those limits and look at that water and refine it and inventory it in particularly in order by the seniority of use, by priority date. But it will not necessarily be changing everybody's legally available water.
What about agriculture? Is this expected to affect agriculture here in our region at all? I mean, cut back the amount of water that farmers can use overall?
Well, you know, again, that's a good question. I know there are a lot of concerns from agriculture, and we really have been working with agriculture to get the information that people need in order to understand their legal water use. I think that what we see is that in a lot of places, farms do not have clarity or certainty of the legal water use in their area or on their property. They might have a very old water right, and it's not clear whether it is still valid. They might have purchased the property, understanding something different than they find out under the law. And it is really difficult right now for farms to be able to look in a single place and understand how much water is legally available to them at any given time. We know that farms are an important part of our environment, our economy, and food supply, but we have had a lot of inconsistency between some farms going out and learning about their water rights and complying with the law, and other ones that have not yet. So this will require documentation from farms of their water use and their water history, and it will change things for some or even many farms as far as what water might be available under their current water rights. At the same time, we're hoping that water will be available once it is all verified and clarified for users to share with each other, whether that is through mitigation, leasing, water banks, and otherwise, so that if someone, for instance, has a farm and they aren't using it for a season or a matter of years, maybe because their farm is in probate or otherwise, that water could be used by someone else. And those are the kinds of solutions that we see elsewhere in the state once water rights are more certain.
Is this expected to affect property values? Water is obviously pretty critical to anybody who is occupying a property. What's been the experience in where this has been done before?
Well, that's a couple different questions. As far as whether it's expected to affect property values, possibly, property values depend on many variables. Some land will have verified legal water rights, which may make them worth more. Other land might have interruptible water rights, which could be worth less. Again, this doesn't take away the permit exemption, so water use under the permit exemption shouldn't necessarily change. And the other thing is that it's going to be a regional change so that the land values relative to each other might all be adjusted in one direction or another. For instance, if over time it becomes clear that there's not enough water for outdoor watering, lawn and garden watering, that could apply to all houses equally. And so it wouldn't necessarily mean some are worth more or less than the other. But those are all variables that remain to be seen.
Okay. What about property sales while this process is underway? Will this slow those at all or affect them, or is it expected to?
Well, sellers will need to notify buyers about the adjudication. I know that real estate organizations and lawyers are working on that now to be sure that real estate agents, buyers, and sellers have the information they need. So I think the main thing to keep in mind is information and notice during the process. Sellers will need to notify buyers, and buyers will need to understand the process and see whether there are forms that maybe still need to be filled out. And we are also at the Department of Ecology going to have more information publicly available for this.
How will the, once this is completed, I guess, you know, because obviously our county, like all areas of the state, are going to continue to grow in population, new properties will be established. How will this process, I take it, it will have to be flexible to one degree or another to allow more water usage, or how will that affect, I guess?
Yeah, so what I can say is that in the future, in general, legal water rights stay with the property upon sale and subdivision, but they can be often changed, like I said, leased or banked or mitigated in other directions. When we talk about growth, growth management is a responsibility of the county in a public process that takes place here, usually through Whatcom County. So they are the best ones to answer those questions. I don't have a lot of answers on that.
Okay. What about the process itself? I mean, I think I heard that the last adjudication took some 20 years or something like that. Is this expected to take that long? And will it be that long for everyone who's involved?
Well, adjudication will take a number of years, yes. And the last process indeed took much more than 20 years, more in the neighborhood of 40 years.
Wow.
But much of that time was spent on legal disputes that we know we'll be able to avoid this time around. For instance, because we have requests for this action from Lummi Nation and Nooksack Tribe, and we don't expect opposition from the United States, that will save compared to the other adjudication, which was called Aquavella, that will save a number of years that in the past would be debates on jurisdiction and venue. And we also have other kinds of things that will make adjudication go more quickly. We have technology that will allow adjudication to go more quickly. And we have other improvements in the law that we think will smooth over and speed up the process. But yes, I know some people are eager for adjudication to move quickly. Others might be happy with the way things are and would rather that it maybe even that it doesn't move so quickly. But also, you know, it's true that some areas will likely have their rights resolved earlier on in the process, but we don't know yet which where that might happen and what kind of finality there could be along the way.
Okay, so it's not, say, a property owner goes, fills out the proper forms, takes them down to the courthouse, gets them stamped, and it's over and done with. They put those, they'll submit those forms or what have you, and then it's basically a waiting game before it's all resolved, huh?
It is. Most property owners, if they have irrigation use or other kinds of historic use, there will be the initial claims process, and then they will have additional time to find evidence of their historic use if that's required, if they're claiming early priority dates from early use on the property. And they do have quite a bit of time to get that information together. And then the Department of Ecology will make the first review of that information and make a recommendation. And then over time, that will be presented to the court. Individuals can dispute Ecology's recommendations, either on their own water use or on, say, their neighbor's water use, and the court will make those final decisions. So yes, it is a long process with a lot of time, but it does not require water users to be involved every week throughout that process. It is something that they submit information and then there will be time while the information is reviewed.
All right. And I'm sure you're no stranger to the emotions that are involved when the state takes actions like this. And Is this a process that people should fear or be angry about? Or I guess, what's the message that you would pass along to people here?
Well, we understand. I have been out in the community a lot, and I have seen it. And we hear people that there's fear about the process. And I know sometimes that does lead to anger. I think the main thing we're trying to do is to educate people about what this process is and what this process isn't. This is a long-term process. We are asking for information, and we really aim to educate people, think about the easiest way for them to participate. And hopefully, as we get that information out, there will be less fear about what the process involves.
Well, I appreciate your time. Once again, we've been speaking with Robin McPherson. She's the adjudication manager for this water adjudication process with Ecology. And anything you'd like to just add to our discussion here?
Well, I do want to add that we have a phone number if people want to call and get more information, either about their property or about the adjudication. Could I go ahead and give you that phone number, Joe?
Absolutely.
Okay. The phone number is 360-255-4406. We also are shortly going to be mailing out a postcard area-wide, which will have more information about how to look on our website and get information from us about the process. So we do have information and help available both through Ecology and Whatcom County, and that assistance will be expanding as the process is established and notice is sent out this year.
All right. Once again, it's 360-255-4406. And we'll post that phone number on our website, mybellinghamnow.com. And Robin McPherson with Ecology, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate it.
And we'll take a quick break here on KGMI Connects and have time to take your calls in just a moment. 360-676-5464.
You've earned your retirement and you're ready to fully embrace it. So why not do it with style at Meadow Greens Retirement? You'll enjoy active, independent living with amenities like the library lounge, wellness program, and expansive social calendar. Indulge in 3 daily meals made from scratch, get pampered at the on-site salon, and join in for Friday night socials. Meadow Greens is active retirement, the only locally owned retirement facility in the county with 1 and 2 bedroom apartments with full kitchens offering the free of eating in or enjoying a meal at the Outward Nine or the Duck Hook Bistro. Meadow Greens can also be of help when it's time to transition from an independent apartment to assisted living.
Hi, I'm Josh Howe, director here at Meadow Greens. I'd like to personally invite you to come to our community. I look forward to showing you all that we have to offer. Call Meadow Greens today to arrange a private tour at 354-8200 and online at meadowgreenslinden.com. The grass is always greener at Meadow Greens.
You know those friends who say, stop by anytime, and you're like, you don't really mean that. Well, unlike those friends, Dewey Griffin Subaru's Express Certified Subaru Tire and Service Center means it. They're open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. Stop by anytime you need an oil change or any other minor maintenance, and they'll take care of you. No appointment necessary, and you'll get a free car wash with your service. Dewey Griffin Subaru, community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru Certified Tire and Service Center in Whatcom County.
Now you can mow, dig, grade, haul, and more with the perfect solution for your property, a Branson tractor. Save your and your wallet with one of our compact but powerful tractors here at Farmers Equipment Company. Stop by and choose from our full line of Bransons to take on your toughest tasks. With tractors from 19 to 55 horsepower, we have a Branson compact or utility tractor that is perfect for you. Want to use a rotary cutter to tame that tall brush on your property? You can do that. What about snagging a scoop from that pile of gravel to maintain your driveway free of potholes? You can do that too. Branson's 6-year warranty, along with our factory-trained technicians, will make sure your new tractor is always running great. Get the tractor you want and the peace of mind you need at Farmers Equipment Company. To learn more, visit us online at farmersequip.com or stop by our locations in Linden or Burlington today. Farmers Equipment Company, serving the Pacific Northwest for over 86 years.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
That we are, after hearing from the Department of Ecology about this adjudication process. But whatever's on your mind, as always, we want to hear from you. 360-676-5464. Jack is in Ballard this afternoon. Hi, Jack.
Hello there, sir. That woman ain't telling the truth.
About what?
About, well, she's like the David Allan Coe song, Three Biggest Lies. She said that you don't need a lawyer, that it's going to be simple. That means it's going to be complicated. The thing that she said about they're going to put in an application every time property changes hands, including inheritance or a different farm manager, you're going to have to reapply. And the Lummi water dispute that went on for 40 years that she referenced earlier, you need a lawyer because it costs.
She didn't say you didn't need a lawyer. She said you may want to get one, but she didn't say you had to have one to do the process.
No. Well, she said you didn't have to have one. I mean, my ex-father-in-law spent about $275 a month during that whole process.
Well, that
lawyers,
was not
on lawyers,
that please. Wasn't adjudication. If that was here in Whatcom County, we haven't gone through that, or they haven't. This is new for our area. The previous adjudication, I think, was down in Central Washington.
Yeah, I don't trust her as far as I can throw her.
Well, you don't have to throw her. I think she's probably happy about that. All right, Jack.
There's just no trust in that. She's not telling the truth.
Okay, well, all right. Then I'm sure there are those who think that I don't know why she would have a reason to lie about it. I mean, it is what it is, but Rich in Ferndale has some thoughts. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Joe. I don't think she was outright lying, but I do believe she left a lot of things out. But the most important point of what she said is the length of time this will take. That by itself makes it unreasonable. In 1776, one of the grievances against the British was lengthy trials. That's why we have in this country the right to speedy trial. If this goes on for more than even one decade, it is wrong. The judge who will decide this, Joe, might be in fifth grade right now. So that makes the whole thing baloney right there, the length of time. Everything else doesn't even matter. The length of time ruins everything.
Well, the length of time, as she said, there are, you know, with the lawsuits and things that are filed, legal actions that are taken during the process are what really stretch it out. It's not the process itself, but it's challenges to it.
Joe, this is not a surprise.
Well,
I knew this would be a long time.
You know, you're at the point where, I mean, if you don't like that the sun comes up every morning, you can go out and you can rail and yell and scream about the sun coming up every morning, but it's not going to change it. It's going to happen. It's like the meeting that you saw me at a couple of weeks ago up in Linden.
Yeah, I saw you there. Yeah.
Those folks said, you know, we don't agree with this. We wish it wasn't happening, but it's happening. Now, we're here to not to sit in campaign or politic. We're here to explain what you need to do to deal with this. And I think
it is your right and my right to not agree with something.
Well, sure. But I mean, how long are you going to disagree with this forever and ever and ever? I mean,
yes, I will. Okay. And that is my right, Joe.
Well, sure.
If
but I mean,
like
it's not it's not really constructive. I mean,
Joe, this process
it's not good
is not
for
constructive.
You. Well, it is. It is ultimately. It will settle all these issues, and everyone
will
know what kind of water use right they have.
Write it down on a piece of paper and a calendar. This will not settle anything. I guarantee.
All right,
it.
All right, Rich.
20
okay.
plus years.
And we'll
why
hear,
would you support
we'll,
something this
we'll
long?
We'll hear from you for 20 years about it. I don't know if I'll be doing this show that long, but I'll be hearing from you for the whole time.
Yeah.
That this should
and
not
you
be
love
happening.
The government does.
This
Joe,
should
the
not be happening.
Lover. Government's wonderful. Government's
I
great.
Never said
the
that, Rich.
No
I never said that,
you
Rich.
You insinuate it every day.
But there are many things the government does that we do need the government to do. That we as individuals or corporations or the private sector cannot do or won't do. And what government does is it functions for all of us in a general sense. I mean,
it's not doing this. Adjudication will not do that. It will just cost people money and headache.
You don't know, Rich, but you hate government, so that's how it'll go for you. I mean, like I said, it's not good for you to just be angry and over something that you can't change. It's like, you know, the 12 step this baby. Give me the strength to whatever it is, you know, the whole serenity prayer, I guess, is what I'm talking about. But let's see, we got Don over in Port Angeles. Hi, Don.
Now, hi, Joe.
I hope you don't want to hit this person over the head or anything like that, but what are your thoughts here today?
Well, the whole thing should be moot, but it's got to employ a bunch of lawyers, and it's got to, you know, get everybody at each other's throats. You know, just build a few dams and some reservoirs, and the problem's solved.
Yeah, but then you got this. You can't just. You're talking about all these. I mean, if you wanted to go build dams, you don't think you're going to encounter lawsuits, organizations, well, people saying you can't build a dam here. Look at all the wildlife you're going to destroy. Look at how you're going to destroy the downstream flow of the river. Look at this. Yeah, look at that. I mean, every step you take, you're going to face legal action.
I live real close to the Elwha River.
Yeah.
Which used to have two dams on it.
Right.
Lake Mills and Lake Aldwell. And I could take my Grumman canoe out there and have a good time. And I could catch fish in the river. They tore out the dams, and there hasn't been a recovery of the fish, and it's been more than 12 years. These people lie. They're part of the, let's create food and water shortages and starve people and reduce the population. That's what it's all about, and employing people who shouldn't have jobs.
All right. Well, the Elwha dams were built without any kind of authority or any kind of permitting. They were unpermitted and just put up by private interests. And
it doesn't matter.
They weren't producing anything. All they were doing was restricting a wild river. And everything I've seen is that that these wild fish runs have started to repopulate, and the ecosystem has been recovering.
I have a private source, and they are not.
Okay.
And every year lately, the city has had a stage whatever water shortage, and you can't water your lawns. You know, your lawns fix carbon dioxide just like the tree does. But no, you can't water your lawns. You can't water your garden. You can't wash your car. You know, they're just boneheads. They have an agenda, which is fewer people. You know.
Well, fewer people is ultimately what is going to be better for the earth. But who's here is already here,
and there's plenty of earth, and plenty of water.
What's that?
There's plenty of earth and there's plenty of water, but they don't want us to have it.
Well, okay. Well, there's dwindling resources, but and more people all the time. So I think we have to be realistic about this. It's not the same place that it was 100 years ago or what have you. I mean, even 50 years, 40, 30 years, the populations, and it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow, and our demand for resources is going to continue to grow along with the population. Those are my thoughts, but we'll take more viewers in just a moment. 360-676-5464.
You love what you find at Wilson.
Great summer start at Wilson's Furniture. Wilson's is where you'll find the biggest and best selection of patio and outdoor furniture north of Seattle. If you haven't shopped for patio furniture lately, you are going to be amazed at the variety you're going to find. Wilson's has patio furniture made in aluminum, wrought iron, antique. You'll find motion furniture, pub style, fire pit groupings, sectionals, love seats, and more. Way too many combinations to even describe. You truly have to see for yourself the selection at Wilson's. And the staff at Wilson's are experts in helping guide you through your shopping experience, helping match you, your budget, and lifestyle with the perfect combination of furniture that you'll enjoy not just this summer, but for years to come. Looking for a new way to enjoy the summer night, even when it's a bit cool? You'll love what you'll find at Wilson's Furniture. Open 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
You love what you find.
Sustainable gardening, planting it right the first time so that your garden thrives now and in the future. It requires knowing your territory and gardening zones. Are you in the Sudden Valley shade, dodging deer in Geneva, facing nor'easters in the county, or getting salt spray from Birch Bay? Struggling to navigate the unique challenges of your growing zone? The staff at Kent's Garden and Nursery knows what to plant and where, with everything you need to make your own sustainable garden flourish, no matter what neighborhood you live in. And they can help with their custom plant design service. You'll learn to create the garden of your dreams, offering sustainable solutions so you plant it right the first time, whether you're a seasoned gardener or just starting out. Come out to Kent's with 5.5 acres of plants to inspire you. Talk to the experts at Kent's. They'll know how to put your garden on the right path for both you and future generations to enjoy. Kent's Garden and Nursery, the largest nursery in town, on Northwest in Bellingham and online at kentsgardenandnursery.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Friday afternoon. Right back to the phones we go, and Bruce in Bellingham's been holding on. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I'd like to comment about my topic is Uncle Bozy.
Uncle Bozy.
And right. Uncle Bozy was Joe Biden's uncle.
Uh-huh.
And he was a crew member in the South Pacific during World War II, and he was on a flight with four others in a plane near New Guinea. And the plane lost power and crashed into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And three of the crew members were killed. Unfortunately, they perished. One of them was rescued. But what's important on all this is that Joe Biden's comments about Uncle Bozy was that on the island of New Guinea, there was cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden said that the cannibals ate Uncle Bozy.
I don't think he ever said that they directly that he was eaten by cannibals. I think he said that he was never found, and there were a lot of cannibals in the area, something to that effect.
The report that I read said that he was dinner for the cannibals.
Okay, all right. Okay. So
thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. All right. Respite from our water talk, but we got Gary in to continue that conversation. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Joe. How are we doing?
Doing all right. Yeah.
So, comment about that. For currently, if you're applying for a building permit, you have to prove the legal availability of water. So that's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
County or district or what have you. Okay. I'm not going to speak of Bellingham, but the smaller city.
Uh-huh.
As we get into this process and there's adjudication going on during that process, a lot of things are going to be on hold until this gets resolved. If you want to apply for a building permit or something like that, how do you prove legal availability of water? I mean, that's there right now. That's a requirement.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't that way just 5-8 years ago. It started after the settlement of the Hearst decision and when we started running into that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that's part of it. That's one comment I want to make. This,
uh-huh.
this is going to be very challenging. If you don't have water for property, that property has very, very little value. Number two.
Right. I mentioned that to her. She didn't have a direct answer to that.
But consider why.
Well, okay.
The Department of Ecology is the person who is suing everybody.
Right, but you have to remember
you,
now.
Now,
ecology.
I'm tell you things that.
Okay.
Department of Ecology is the people that are suing everybody. This is part of a settlement agreement between the Nook
Well, I think what you have to remember, though, it is a lawsuit, as she said. It's a legal action. Ecology's been directed by lawmakers to do this. So, it's not ecology like, well, woke up one day and said, we need to do that.
I get that. Okay. And why are they? You got to look in
okay.
further.
But I think what you need to keep in mind is that it's not a lawsuit where,
I'm fully aware of this. I've been working on this now for years because it affects property.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But the bottom line is that the two tribes was unable to be successful going to Washington State to get this done. And they went to the federal government, and the federal government went to the state and said, you need to deal with this. Right? But if we can get a good attorney online who's vested in what's going on with the water right issue, that's the explanation you would get. Okay? And so that's what's driven this ahead, and of course the legislature funding to do this. So now you, as an individual, let's say you are a small farmer.
Mm-hmm.
The small farmers are toast. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're going to a gunfight with a cotton. That's really the bottom line. Pharmacology's got unlimited resources, okay?
Right.
They really do.
Right.
The simplistic version is, well, if you just have a house and you got to exempt well and so on and so forth, you can file. There's going to be a short form and a long form. If you're with it, that's what you're going to have is a short form and a long form.
Uh-huh.
Short form's 8 pages, more pages, okay? 1 year to file your claim. And you got 3 years to perfect it. Okay, so if you're doing a long form, you got 3 additional years to add documentation to support your right, mm-hmm. is what you have.
Uh-huh.
That's at all at your expense. That's completely at your expense. If you got a farm and you don't have an attorney, you're tough. The water districts have to do the same thing. They're adjudicated. So if you think that you're getting your water for your house from a water district, same thing.
Well, the water districts might have to curtail some of their use, and especially in dry years, would have to tell their customers that, hey, you can't water outside, you can't water a garden, you can't do this or that. And it's just a reality. If the water resource isn't there, I understand it's not going to be simple, and it's not going to be painless for everybody. But don't you think ultimately it's better to have everything laid out and spelled out, and everybody who has property knows whether or not they have a legal right to use the water that they're using and how much they can use? And
the economic impact is going to be enormous.
You're assuming that. You don't know that.
No, I'm not assuming that. I looked at the history of the last adjudication of what went through, and there's farms that died. Who's going to live long enough if you're a farmer that's even 50 today?
No.
How do you continue that farm when it's in limbo? I mean, we talked about the real estate that came up, okay? Would you buy a piece of property, say 20 acres, when you have no assurance that the price you're going to pay, that you're going to have the water available to even grow that crop?
Well, but they're not saying
okay,
that.
Now put yourself,
okay. All right.
Now put yourself in the lender's position.
Okay.
Since I've talked to a couple lenders, and like I said, we've got property that we're dealing in the middle of this right now.
Mm-hmm.
The lenders are already very hesitant to even lend money on that. Okay, because they have no idea if that property is worth $20,000 an acre, is it worth $100 an acre? If it doesn't have water, it's very little value.
You're just assuming everybody is starting at zero, and that's not the case. I mean, everybody who's using water at this point, like exempt well users, small farms, and that sort of thing, you're not starting at zero. It's not like there's no way you're going to have water. And quite frankly, seems that.
I didn't say they were going to have no water, but let's take the case, the Department of Ecology farm that, where they find that farmer mess. You're aware of that.
Oh, recently, yeah. Right, right.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
All right, there's a perfect example.
But they were using water they didn't have a right to use and using a lot of it.
Okay. Now if you're the lender, now here you are, you're the lender who provided funding to put the blueberries in, to plant them, cultivate. You have so many years before you get a crop, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Now the water's not there.
Well, yeah,
did
but
the
I mean,
when they bought the farm, well, know that, or did they not?
But I mean, they if they invested in a operation that was illegally using a resource, I mean, that's a liability that they took on that they should have looked into it further and understood what was happening there, don't you think?
There you go. That is exactly the issue. So I'm selling a farm, 20 acres, it's buried ground. All right? We do not know if we, through this adjudication, whether we will have availability of water for that or not. The water right is cloudy at best.
Okay. All right.
So until we go through this adjudication process, which will probably take 15, 20 years, we do not know. And in the meantime, the value of that property has dropped. I'll give you an example.
Well, I'm running short on. Hang on just a second, because I got some commercials I got to do, and I will continue in just a moment. Okay, can you hang on for a couple minutes?
All right.
Okay, hang on. We'll be right back here on KGMI Connects.
You know why DeWard and Bodie has been around in this community for more than 78 years? Simple. They're dedicated to their customers, like you and like me. They're Whatcom's Gadget and Island County's trusted appliance experts. And the difference at DeWard and Bodie is they have in-house trained professionals who deliver and install your appliances. Plus, they service what they sell. That means when you need help, you call their phone and talk to real pros who will come to your home to service and repair your appliances. You can shop in confidence at DeWard and Bodie, knowing you'll always be taken care of. They stock the best selection of appliances and mattresses at the best prices, and even offer no money down, no interest financing options. Oh, they've got some great offers going on right now, like you can save up to $100 on their professional delivery and installation when you buy select dishwashers and cooking appliances, or get cash back rebates up to $400 on select LG and KitchenAid appliance packages. Experience the DeWard and Bodie difference at their locations in Bellingham and Burlington.
Whatcom Intergenerational High School is the only tuition-free public charter high school in Whatcom County available to Washington State residents.
They provide a unique learning experience where students co-create their classroom experience, enabling them to pursue their passions, think critically, and learn to solve real-world problems. Students participate in phenomenon-based learning with hands-on experiences like serving meals to the unhoused, raising salmon from eggs and releasing them, invasive plant removal, and support for the Whatcom Humane Society.
They also include community elders, providing education, support, and a connection for students. Together, students and their elder allies are connecting and changing the world for the better.
Looking for an educational connection where students co-create their classroom experience with meaningful relationships and a sense of belonging? Find out what makes Whatcom Intergenerational High School uniquely different online at WIHS.school. Book your tour today. Space is limited. Enroll your student now.
Barclay Village and Lydia Place are teaming up to bring you the 2024 Barclay Village Wine Walk, Thursday, May 16th from 5 to 8 p.m. Stroll through Barclay Village, enjoying pop-up tasting rooms in 14 different shops and restaurants. Your $40 ticket buys you a keepsake wine glass, 8 wine tasting tickets, a goodie bag, and Hagen Snack Shack treats. 100% of the proceeds benefit Lydia Place's mission to end homelessness in our community. Tickets are available now. Sellout risk is high. Get yours online at Barclay Village Wine Walk.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
And we'll go back to our conversation with Gary real quick. I just have a couple of minutes here, Gary, but go ahead.
All right, very good. Let me give you an example. Georgia Manor Water Association on the Lummi Reservation, but private, got in a dispute. The Lummies came after them and said, no, you do not have legal availability of water. That case took 17 years to resolve through federal courts. During that time frame, before it was resolved, in Georgia Manor Water Association won. Okay. And then there was also the Sandy Point dispute. During that time frame, the value of the lots here dropped at Georgia Manor dropped dramatically to $30,000 a piece for waterfront property. That's what they were selling for. I know that's what they were selling for because I bought one.
Okay.
Now, the reality is that it was a pure risk because you didn't have any idea what the outcome was going to be. If you didn't have water, the best you could do is set a lawn chair out there in the middle of the blackberries at that point later. That's all you were going to be able to do.
Right.
That's not how it ended, okay? But there were 17 years of moratorium that went into place because of the lawsuit and the dispute that there was no building permits issued, okay? That's no different than what you're going to have those kind of scenarios happening in Whatcom County.
But Gary,
and the
leaders
are already concerned.
But what if we don't have any regulation of water use in the county, or it's and it's
we've
just
had water law. We've
right,
had water
but
law
people obviously are skirting it, and as evidenced by that recent case. And I mean, we've got parts of this country down in the Phoenix area. You know, they're curtailing development in general because they just don't have the water to support it. And what's to say that we wouldn't reach that eventually? I mean,
Phoenix, so that's about the seventh largest city in the nation.
Right, I know.
Built in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
Who has finally solved these issues. And we are a population here of 220, 240.
Right.
The county.
But it's a different situation. And we have a major river that to keep it, you know, with a proper flow, that requires for, you know, for fish, for wildlife, for all these different uses. Because Phoenix doesn't have the agricultural use that we have. It just seems to me that it makes sense that we take an assessment. I heard this described and I thought it was well said. And I want to get your reaction to this real quick, but that this is, it's not, you know, maybe it might be painful or difficult for us right now, but it's for to settle this issue for future generations and people that come here in the future and live here for a long time.
What is certain is it's going to bankrupt people. Not even a maybe. It's going to, because if you're running a farm and you're heavily leveraged on that farm.
But see, you took advantage of that other lawsuit. You were one who benefited. I'm not saying that the people who lost property value didn't get hurt, but you took advantage of it.
They're going to. There's going to be farm losses. That's probably the thing that's going to be the worst. Farms especially that are going to go out, or they get to the end of the run. So if a farmer's 50 years old, he wants to put up for sale.
But don't you think we're at the point?
Family's not going to take it over.
Don't you think though we're at the point that you know it's going to happen?
No.
Doesn't matter, and that we can't. We're not going to be able to stop it. You, like I said, you can bark at the moon all you want, but it's not going to change it.
No. And
Gary, we're out of time, but call me again.
You,
I will talk about
painful.
It more.
All right.
Okay. You take care. Have a good weekend, and we'll be back on Monday here on KGMI Connects.